right, well, good morning. We're very glad that you're here at the temple. As you consider the things that you've said, or the text that you've sent, or the emails, or the posts that you may have made, or even just the conversations that you've had, do you feel like your words have become more truthful? Do you feel like your communications have become kinder? Maybe you're catching yourself mid-type or post or a text or even in conversations where you're trying to direct it away from something that may not be truthful. Or maybe that something is unkind. We've been studying from the series Before You Hit Send, and Brother Wade, who's in Mountain Home this weekend, he walked us through those first two questions that we all should really be asking ourselves, you know, before we communicate with others. The first being, is it true? If the words you're about to speak aren't true, we don't have to go to any of the other questions. It's pretty easy. You probably shouldn't say that. In fact, it made God's top 10 no-nos. So we just not say with that. So if it's true, second, is it kind? Wade encouraged us last week from Colossians 4:6, said, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt." We have fewer and fewer examples in our culture today of people who have grace-filled speech. In fact, we celebrate people who are able to give good comebacks and good zingers. Whoever has the best zinger wins the day, whether it's true or not. Hopefully, you've been able to take some time and slow down and think, is this true? Is this kind? And today, we'll be exploring, is it necessary? When Wade and I talked about me leading out in this lesson, is it necessary? I instantly thought of a situation that actually happened at work for me. It was about a month ago. I won't name the person, but this person was working on a project, and they were working on some things that were kind of not functioning the way they thought it should, and so they're working through. Well, then the weekend came, and they went on vacation. So, some stuff happened over the weekend. They reached out to our support, and we're trying to help fix it and stuff, and we're doing a pretty good job, but, you know, obviously the customer's a little upset because it's, you know, the weekend, and, you know, we didn't want to be working. They didn't want to be working, but we were getting it done. Well, in the midst of all of that, the person who had taken vacation saw the emails come through and decides, well, I'm going to chime in and what they thought it was, and then sent this photo. That is a picture of the horses that he was riding. So he sent out an email and said, hey, I think it's this, and I can't get to a laptop, so I can't fix it, and then sent the picture of the horse. So I got a text from my boss asking me, hey, did so-and-so send a picture of a horse to an angry customer? Yeah, he did. He did. So it was it was kind of a weird coaching session where we had to come up with a rule that we don't send horse pictures to customers. It's not necessary. The customer didn't say anything after that. I think he was equally as confused as we were. Everything ended up fine, so it's not the worst thing that could have been sent, but it was a first. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation where you didn't know where it was going? And you were praying that possibly there was a point somewhere in there? And then you got to the point where, like, I don't care if there's a point. I'm just praying, God, that there's an end. I want us to watch a quick video from a YouTuber, and that's a person who uploads videos onto a website, and they get paid to do that. But this guy did a social experiment where he started up pointless conversations with people on the street just to see how they would react. So enjoy.
Hey, I was really tired yesterday, and so I took a nap, and I wasn't really tired. I wasn't tired anymore.
That is the perfect thing to do.
I wasn't I woke up this morning and I didn't know if I had toothpaste, and so I checked if I had toothpaste, and I have toothpaste.
Do you need a bottle of toothpaste?
No, I have some.
Okay.
Hey, I was really cold this morning, so I wore a jacket and I wasn't cold anymore.
I just want to like this morning I went out, I had sandals on, but it was really cold, so I just put some shoes on and it was good, so.
Hey!
Yeah. I woke up and I was really hungry, and then I ate something and I wasn't hungry anymore. So. I just want to let you know, like, I was eating some cereal this morning, and I thought I was out of milk, but I wasn't. So I had enough milk for cereal. So, thanks.
Attractive?
What? Sure.
Thanks. Hey, sir. I was thirsty earlier, and so I bought this drink, and I wasn't thirsty anymore. My alarm went off, and it was so annoying, and I just wanted to go back to sleep, so I turned it off, and I went back to sleep. Yeah. My friend and I were arguing that my which soup was better, and I thought chunky soup was better.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. You win. You win the bet.
Yeah, the last girl's like, it's time to go. We gotta get out of here. We have to consider every time that we start a conversation, is this necessary? Am I having a necessary conversation? Hopefully you're not as random as that guy. But today's text will be primarily from Colossians 4:3. But before we dive into Colossians 4:3, I'd actually kind of like to show you guys how you can get to the assessment tool. So along with Dr. Eggert's book, there is a tool, or it's a group of questions that you can actually, four quizzes that you can take that walks you through what kind of communications that you have. So it goes through the four different questions: is it true, is it kind, is it necessary, and is it clear? And it kind of helps you maybe see some of your strengths, or maybe some of your weaknesses, and things that you can work on, or some pitfalls that you might run into when having conversations. So there, we do have it in our sermon stuff, so you can actually follow the actual, you know, website. You actually follow and type in the website, or you can, if you're QR code savvy, if you know what that is, then you're not. But if you're QR code savvy, you can follow that with your phone and execute it. But you can actually go onto the website and actually just like a Google search, and you can just type in before you hit send, assessment tool, and it should pop up these two things. So I did it in Firefox, and I also did it in Google. The first two things are actually the assessment tool. You click on the second one, which actually says the assessment, you know, before you hit send, and then you go in, there's a little bar that goes at the top and says, you know, limited time offer, free. So go ahead and click on that, and it'll execute where you can go in, you type in your email. If you've already logged in, then you don't have to do this, but you're going to log in with your email, and then just set up a profile, so your name, and then a password of your choosing. And then as it goes in, it'll show you right on the right side of the screen. Yeah, I had to, didn't know if my left or right was weird. But it's on the right side of the screen. You can click on that, and it'll take you into the tool. Now, the weird thing is that it makes you put in your email every time. So I thought that was a little odd that I had to put my email in every time. But before you take each quiz of the four questions, you have to put your email in. So other than that, it's pretty easy to get to. You don't have to be, you know, super savvy to get to it. But I did want to encourage you guys to take it. I took it. And, you know, Wade, I guess a couple weeks ago, said he got 21, 22 pages back. I only got 19. So I feel like maybe I've got a leg up on communication with him. Well, I'll let him know when he gets back. But I do encourage you to go out and to try that. And if you have any questions, you know, reach out, and you know, Wade and I can help out. So let's read from Colossians 4:3. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul points out that he is currently in prison. He is incarcerated. He's stuck. And I find it interesting that his prayer request at that moment is not for the door of the prison to be open or to be set free, which he had done, which God had done in the past and had done for others. He asks that the door be open to an opportunity to share Christ. See, Paul knew that we only have a few divine opportunities for one-on-one conversations with people to share Christ. He wasn't concerned about what the other prisoners would think of him. He wasn't concerned about what the guards could do to him. He certainly didn't care what the religious and the political leaders could do, because they're the ones who threw him there. And he didn't care that that conversation might be awkward as you start up. Well, what is your spiritual condition? Do you know Jesus Christ? Can I talk to you a bit? He didn't care. All he cared about was gaining the opportunity to be able to share Christ with anyone and anyone that God put in his life. There are a limited amount of divine opportunities to share our faith with others, so it is necessary for Christians to take advantage of those divine moments. It is necessary that we take advantage of those moments where God has put us together and the conversation is just naturally leading towards us asking the question. Colossians 4:3 speaks directly to Christians not wasting opportunities that God has provided us. And especially when we know that that person is not a believer. We should be asking ourselves, is the current topic necessary for their eternal life? Now, not all communications are going to be eternally minded. I would say the majority of our conversations have to just do with just stuff. You know, what'd you watch last night? Where are you going out to eat? You know, work stuff, parent stuff. Husband-wife stuff, and those are the fun stuff. So as we consider our communications paired with a question, is it necessary? We really only have two decisions that we need to make. Should I hold my tongue, or should I say something? Some of us struggle with holding our tongue in moments where it would be best and wise to just not say something. Other of us struggle with the fear of speaking up, that maybe others will examine the words that I'm about to say and they won't be 100% correct. Or maybe I'm not qualified to say something in this moment, so I'm going to hold back and not say anything. So I thought maybe in this morning that we would examine just a few scenarios and ask ourselves, should I hold my tongue or should I say something? Let's say that we're all teenagers. And I think that would be fun if like we were all teenagers at the same time. But let's just say we're all teenagers at this moment. And you get a speeding ticket. And now your parents are grilling you. However, mom got a ticket last week because she was using her cell phone in a school zone. Do you bring that up to help promote that everyone's human and everyone makes mistakes? Or do you hold your tongue and just take the chewing out? A lot of my students are going, bring it up. Now, I've asked some people to read some verses for me. So I'm going to ask verse 1, if you'd go ahead and read verse 1 for me.
Proverbs 13:3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips.
I think there were times that my mom and dad wanted to kill me. Whether you're 16 or you're three times that, no one enjoys being scolded. Our response to those situations, when we're exposed or found out or called out, the result of our reactions can be very telling as to what's inside of our heart. It's hard accepting the consequences of our actions. Anyone ever find themselves trying to pass the blame? If I had gotten it on time, it's not my fault. That person was late. Or I wasn't told the whole story. Well, that couldn't be me. I'm always on time, or I'm always doing this, or I'm always right, or I double check, triple check. There was a time where I told my mom, we were in Eureka, and she said, "Do you have the keys?" I said, "Yeah," and I made some smart car, I don't remember what it was, but I made some smart car. I never forget the keys. And then I got a sandwich, and I got her a sandwich, and I got my friend a sandwich, and then we came back in. She goes, "Hand me the keys," and I went, "Oh." I had tossed them in the trunk and locked it. Pride cometh. We had to wait an hour and a half for my dad to get off work and come to Eureka. That was a fun hour and a half. Do you ever find yourself throwing up so many things when you're getting in trouble, or maybe it might come to you? You're just pointing out the different flaws of everyone else in the room. Well, she's always late, and that person does this, and that person does that. And you toss up enough chaos that sometimes they forget about what you did. God's plan for us is never to cause chaos with our words or to cause confusion with our words so that we can skirt out of our bad decisions. Our words are often our own destruction. He wants us to build peace. So you're sitting at work with some coworkers, and it seems like every time you sit down, they complain about someone in the office or something in the office. From how terrible the boss is to how terrible and too strong the coffee is. Sorry, Troy. Nothing goes unnoticed or judged. You may even agree with some of the things that they're saying. It's not as if it's untrue, but it's just constant complaining. Do you hold your tongue and just let it happen? Or do you say something to try to make them stop? Who has verse 2?
Ecclesiastes 10:12-14. The words of the wise man's mouth are meant in favor, the lips of a fool consume them. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though a man knows not what is to be, and who can tell what will be after.
We expect the mouth of sinners to be full of curses and bitterness. We expect that. The mouth of a Christian, however, should be different. It should not be filled with curses and with bitterness. It should be filled with building one another up, not tearing them down. We should be affecting positive change in our homes, in the workplace, and at church. We need to be careful not to become, as Dr. Eggert calls, grumblers or rehashers, people who complain and find something wrong with everything in the room, or people who just can't seem to let it go. Janice, it was 10 years ago. You got to let it go. People like that get stuck in a rut of negativity, and they're just stuck, and there's no happiness. We as Christians should instead take that opportunity to focus on the good that is happening. Change the conversation from darkness to light, if only to help protect our own personal health and our own personal experiences. You're at a wedding, and you don't feel like the bride and groom should get married. They're too young. They don't have near the life experience they should to get married. And maybe you've heard some rumors about the couple. You're not sure if they're true, but they sound legit. Do you say something to people around you, maybe the parents, about your doubts and about those things? Or do you hold your tongue and just hope for the best? Verse 3.
Such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Do you find yourself in need of chatting to people? Having information that will give rise to a situation, spice things up, get things exciting? Maybe the real story is just a little bit boring. It's not lying. It's just telling the truth with style. That was one of my things that came up. I tend to spice up things. I love telling stories. I don't know what it is. I love telling stories. And I love giving every detail so that you're experiencing what I experienced in the moment. So that everything that's happening and the things that were coming at my face, or like I was hearing things or stuff, or the temperature, like I enjoy giving every detail and then bringing you along. And then like I get my arms going, my legs going. Like I'm excited. Like I get really excited when I tell stories. And I even had friends in high school that would say, "It feels like he's lying, but I was there and everything he said is true." The truth does not need to be spiced up. It is perfect the way that it is. It's the truth. It is not necessary for us to enhance or to change or to make better what is the truth. Because soon we're falling into corrupt talk. Someone has posted a question about our verse, or about a verse in the Bible, asking for an explanation. This is on a verse that you're familiar with, either from childhood or Bible study, or something that was shared with you during a difficult time. Do you say something publicly about this verse and what it means to you? Or do you hold back and not say anything in fear of, maybe I'll be judged, or I'll let someone else who I think is more qualified tackle it? What is verse 4?
Ecclesiastes 3:7. The time to tear and the time to sow, the time to keep silence and the time to speak.
Ecclesiastes here is pointing out that there are seasons in our life where certain actions are appropriate. I know a lot of the Bible talks about taming the tongue. Don't speak. Hold back. You will look foolish. But there are also times where God has given you a unique opportunity or in a unique circumstance that actually gives you authority to speak into it and gives you wisdom to speak into that moment. Your story can be way more powerful and way more impactful on someone who can relate to your experience than if Wade or myself give a biblical definition of the verse and its surrounding applications. Do not be afraid in those moments, and don't waste those opportunities to encourage a sister or encourage a brother in their time of need, because they're like exploring and they're hungry. Because if you pass that off to someone else, we may have missed a moment. The teacher wrote a problem on the board wrong. And then she taught, or she wrote a problem on the board, and then she taught the class the incorrect answer. Do you hold your tongue and let the class learn the wrong thing, or do you speak up and you say something? Verse 5.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the setting of silver. Like a golden ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to the listening.
In that day and age, apples were considered a beautiful fruit. And it had such a source of nourishment and refreshment. And they would take these apples and they would put them in silver bowls. And the apples would pop out. And it was just really beautiful. And it was really something that like was, you know, appetizing to visually for people. And the word fitly here, so when it says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a silver setting, the word fitly there actually means in the right circumstance or on time. So with any fruit, you want to pick it at the right time. If you pick it too soon, the fruit's going to be hard and bitter. If you pick it late, it's actually going to potentially be mushy or poisoned or something's got to it. And so it's no longer edifying. So can our words. It may be true and it may be kind, But if said too soon, it can come off as bitter and cold. Or if said too late, maybe the damage is already done and it's no longer profitable for that person. The teacher one is actually a circumstance that's personal for myself and for Laura. Both Laura and I are skilled in mathematics. She's obviously way better at the advanced stuff than I am. But both of us were faced with this very scenario. I was in third grade, and I had a teacher who was messing up simple long division, long multiplication. And I'm watching her write the answer up there, and I'm looking at my sheet, and I'm looking at hers, and it's wrong. And so I'm looking around at other kids, like, anyone else? And they're just shaking their head, writing it, and I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. And then I got excited because I was like, I'm smarter than the teacher. So I raised my hand and I let her know that was wrong. And then I told her it was wrong. And then we had a discussion about it. And then I got to spend math class out in the hallway. And I also got a note in my permit record that said I'm argumentative. So, as you imagine, a third grader correcting a teacher was not a blessing to her. She did not see me as fruit in a silver basket. And while I was truthful, and while I was, might have been kindish, it was not necessary for me to correct her in that very moment in front of all the students. Or at least that's what the principal said. Now in college, Laura was in a math class and had a professor who was not as well versed in the subject as she was. And oftentimes she would help the professor out or help correct the things that he was putting up there and getting to the right answers. Soon she became sort of like the second teacher of the class and would host a study group afterwards to help correct some of the things and kind of walk through, you know, how to get through the course. The outcomes of the story are a lot different. And the fact that Laura had offered correct information in an appropriate setting, she was able to gain favor with maybe not necessarily the professor, but with the students, and in a way that wasn't debilitating to the professor and to his position. While as a third grade boy, I was able to make an adult look foolish and was a disruption. Now, each of these scenarios is very specific to the things and the stuff that's happening, and not every scenario that your life is going to be the same. So I'm not saying that every scenario is the same, and then every one of those moments that you're going to have to, hey, you should speak up or you shouldn't. To close us out today, I want us to think about how many times we have overlooked the question, is this necessary? When we consider the ramifications of being truthful as well as kind, necessary can and is probably most often forgotten. The truth can cut way deeper than a lie, especially when it's used in out of spite and out of anger or revenge. I met my best friend Alan in gym class. He was a 6'1" seventh grader. And I think I may have been sub 5 foot. So I instantly decided that I was going to be his friend because he was huge. And my mouth got me in a lot of trouble. Not that I was argumentative or anything, but I did get in a lot of trouble. And I had a unique way of using the truth to cut people down. It was way easier than making up a lie. All I do was just point out the flaws and what was going on. Yeah, I was truthful, but it was not necessary in those moments. Maybe your anger blinds you from the damages that you're doing in those moments. While you're spewing pent-up feelings, things that you've been harboring. Or maybe a story is just too good to hold on to. You've got to share it with someone. You got to tell someone. I got to tell them. And it's not your fault if they spread it on to another person. You just told one person. Or maybe you think people are just dull and boring. And it'd be way better if you're the center of attention. It's necessary for people to hear what I have to say and my story. And I just can't wait until they finish their words so I can talk. So now I can talk. Wherever you find yourself today, one thing I will and want to leave with you is Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Careless, useless words. God is listening to our conversations. He cares about how you're using your conversations. I pray this week for opportunities to share God's love. I pray that this week that people will pray for opportunities to share God's love. Be careful what conversations you engage into and the usefulness of those conversations. Be asking yourself, is this moment necessary? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, O God, for this day, and I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Father, I pray that we will be able to honestly examine the words that we use in a week. Examine those moments that you've given us to reach out to people, to love on them, to speak to them, to speak into their lives. And God, are we wasting those opportunities? Are we more encouraged by the things that we say and the promotion of ourselves? Are we more engaged in what others and where they're at and what their needs are? Father, we love you and we're so thankful for this opportunity to praise your name. And I ask God that you would help us, Father, to come closer to you and to be more intimate with you. In Jesus' heavenly name we pray. Amen.